CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, beautiful people, on a Friday morning. Lovely. So Simpiwe is wearing bright orange to make sure that nobody falls asleep during the show. That's her job this morning. And she is,
yes,
she is doing it with both hands. So we got a lot to get into today, and it is Friday, so you have made it to another weekend. In fact, it's the last weekend in November. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because next
December
week,
is loading. I can feel it. It's around the corner.
Exactly. Yeah, what? Next weekend, yes, the 2nd and 3rd. Yebo. Yebo.
Yeah. I've already gotten invites for like a World Cup themed game night, so it's a good way to start December. I'm loving it.
All right, is that the weekend plan? Is that on the on the schedule? Okay. Shame, I felt so bad for Ryan yesterday because he came into the office and he had this big chart and he's been filling in like who's winning what match and the scores and everything else like I used to do. Just a few years ago when I gave a shit. I felt sorry for him. Not in some patronizing shit where I was like, oh God, I used to be there. I remember doing that. And he's like, look, I brought this chart, and he lays it out on the table, and he's so proud, and he's like, look, I've put in the scores of all the different teams. Maybe we should do like an office pool where, you know, and I'm like, oh Jesus, we did this. I think we did this eight years ago.
Gareth, I will say that as someone who doesn't watch soccer at all, I'm in it now. Now
already?
I'm in it. We've connected the TV here in the office, so we'll watch like a bit of the 3 o'clock game. And it's actually quite interesting. It does feel like this might be the World Cup of the underdog, because the strong teams are not winning easily as they should be. But we'll see how it goes. I'm enjoying it. Yesterday's game, I watched it. Was it Portugal and Ghana? Second half was where it's at. Ronaldo scored. 8 minutes later, Ghana scores. 5 minutes later, Portugal scores again. Like, it was, what? Okay.
Okay,
right. Yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah, I've got to get into it. I haven't yet, and I'd be lying if I told you I'd watched a single second of a single match. So, hey, can I talk about Black Friday and get that out of the way?
Oh, yes.
So, first of all, Simpiwe says to me that there's a storm that's hitting the East Rand quite hard this morning. So that's going to upset all those bargain hunters who are going to be queuing up outside various massive stores to get Black Friday specials. And they deserve it, because if you go to a big store on Black Friday and you queue with everyone else and you are, I don't know, going for your fifth TV or something, you really do deserve to have the rain come down on you. Sorry. A friend of mine who I can't be friends with this person anymore, because they sent me a voice note last night saying, I've just got to go and get an air fryer. And it's going to happen. I said the dreaded word, air fryer. There we go. Like and subscribe, everybody. Like and subscribe. I got to go and get an air fryer. My girlfriend and I, we saw that they're on special, but apparently the shop opens up at 12 on Thursday, so we're rather going to go then than go on Friday and have the like, he's somehow better than the people who queue on a Friday, because he's going to go on the Thursday, you know? And have you noticed Black Friday has turned into the whole week? It's Black...
Yes, yeah, which is...
Black Friday
and
week.
They also moved the weekend, because I noticed before it used to be like the weekend before payday. That's the weekend of payday. So when people actually have money, it's going to be a hummus. My sister she loves Black Friday deals. I can't stomach it. I'm just like, why would I want to walk into a store and there's 50,000 people, or they're just savages, you know? Like, I can't do it. And she's like, girl, I already know what I want. I'm going to go to this store. I know what time to go. Like, I have a budget. Count me out. Sorry, can't do it.
Although, I just suddenly realized something yesterday. How is it that these things are so expensive? I have a printer at home. Printer cartridges. Sweet Jesus. They're like 500 or 600 rand each. Yes. And it's not, I don't have some fancy printer like the one we've got in the office that is, it's a laser printer. It's this high. It can print like 500 copies of something in perfect color, blah, blah, blah. This is a scam. These, oh, there's the rain. The rain's just hit me too, Simpiwe. No, seriously, I looked at this thing because yesterday my printer had this thing flashing. It's like, eh, you need to replace the cartridges. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just replaced them the other day anyway. So I look online, 575 or something around a cartridge. I'm like, all right, I'll tell you what, that's what I would do for Black Fridays. Go online and buy those printer cartridges. I mean, I've got to get them, right? Because otherwise, yes. What's the point in having the stupid thing?
Yeah, so I am an advocate for Cyber Monday. Like, I think I would rather waste my time online trying to get the best deals for something to be delivered. Like, that signed me up, because then I'm not dealing with other people and other kids who just...
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, we all... Listen, who doesn't like a bargain? I don't believe anyone who comes along and says, oh, no, I don't. I'm not really interested in saving just, you know, R5. Every human being, there's a part of all of us that's very schnorrer, that likes to find a little, discount here. Yes. Yeah, we all do. So I don't buy these people who are like, I'm too good for Black Friday. But I do hate the thing. And I won't go and stand. I'm not going near the shops today. There's not a chance.
Miss me.
It's too horrible.
But I will say, it's only a bargain if you've done, like, research. So if, like, your friend who's been wanting to buy an air fryer, they know the original cost. So they know if they're getting a good bargain or not.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, they see 50% off, but it was always 5 million. It was, you're still spending the same amount of money that you would have spent had you bought it on Monday, just because they know how to market things. So do your research as well, kids.
Yes,
do your research.
Exactly. And I think it was Leanne and Mash on Monday who said, no, online Black Friday is the way to go. What do they call that? Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
Yeah. So maybe that's the thing to do. Maybe I'll buy those ink cartridges then. Ugh. It burns me that, like, it'll come to 2,000 something rand for those four little cartridges. Four tiny little things.
That's so much money.
It's huge, so right? Now, that burns me. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm cheap about this, but fucking hell, for four printer cartridges. George Meany, he says there's some Black Friday specials on Auto Trader. 882 Black Friday cars online. What does that mean? Super, super cheap cars, George? Is that what it means?
I like that. Mm. See, now that you know, so if you're looking for a car, you know you're going to get a good bargain. I'm just saying, guys, just do your research.
Beth says inkjet printers are the way to go. Ink is much cheaper. Well, this is an inkjet printer, Beth. And no, it's not cheaper. It's busy going kong, 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 now looking at stupid. I promise you, just switched on and started making these noises. Probably because I said printer. It's also listening to me like everything else in my office. Oh my god! It's fucking terrifying, Simpiwe. If the machines come and kill me one day, you know where to find me. Right? I swear.
I can't save you, Gareth.
I was just talking now about the thing, and it starts moving around. I'm like, oh no!
It's probably saying, "Buy the ink, feed me, feed me, buy the ink."
What is it doing with that ink? I'm not printing reams and reams of paper here. What is it doing with that ink when I'm not looking?
Wait, okay, cool. How long has the ink lost you?
I don't know, but it felt like a very short time. It feels like just the other day I bought those new cartridges. All right, well, we'll see. Yonder wants to know, George, are there any Teslas in that 882 cars? I'm looking for the S-Plaid. No, I don't know about that. My sentiment, he says, is that if you are in the market and need the item, then hold out to Black Friday. But in many instances, it forces us to spend. Well, that's a stupid thing. I mean, that's exactly right. Apparently, here's an interesting thing from JP. He says, there is a browser extension called Scrapy, which allows you to look at the history of the price of a specific product. You'll know if it's actually a good deal. Scrapy. Wow. Okay. Very good.
I like that. Thank you.
That's cool. We'll take
that. I'm going to use that all the time.
Mm-hmm. The software embedded in the cartridge drives me mad. Plotter cartridges, 3K each. Oh, Jesus, Steve. 3K each. For just one, says Steve, in one of his cartridges. Okay. Then I've got a cheapie. by comparison. Oh. My God. Please discuss. Okay. Here's Vin Nordea says, please discuss the madness that's going on with the treatment of dogs that resemble pit bulls. The cruelty and violence being perpetrated against all dogs is totally over the top. What has happened to so-called educated people? These attacks are horrendous, but unfortunately, I don't believe these dogs are attacking children without provocation. Were you there to witness what truly happened? Ah, it's Friday. Vin, I don't want to go into this. I'm a massive fan of dogs. I have my own dog. I do not like pit bulls, but I don't believe that pit bulls are evil, horrible animals that all need to be put down. At the same time, I really don't think that it's a good idea to have them around children. Every attack, with one or two exceptions, has been found to be a pit bull. I just think that that's too much of a risk to take. There are lots of lovely, lovely dogs that aren't going to tear your child's face off. And I'm not suggesting we should have all pit bulls put down or that anyone should be cruel to pit bulls, just like pit bulls shouldn't be cruel to children. I just don't like the idea of these dogs who are trained, who have been bred for the purposes of fighting, even if they live in your house as a family pet. You know that they're on a hair trigger because that's how they've been bred. That is in their DNA. It just seems to me to be a dangerous idea to mix up these dogs, and, you know, someone leaves their gate open and this dog runs out and mauls someone in the street. It's happened. It happens all the time. All the dog attacks, with the except a very rare exception of a few Rottweilers and you know, some other dogs which also don't have the best reputation, but nothing gets close to the reputation that pit bulls have earned themselves by being the dogs that attack the most. And I do not like the idea of anyone victimizing any kind of animal for superstitious reasons or for scientific reasons or for reasons of just fear. I don't like any of that, but I really do think that the pit bulls have a long way to go, and pit bull owners have a long way to go to prove themselves. When they say, "Oh, no, it's not the dog, it's the owner," sure, that's always true. But it doesn't help the case when you look at the statistics from all over the world. And in the US in particular, they've got a very good set of statistics that shows incontrovertible evidence that these dogs are responsible for the majority of attacks. And that's not going to go away, no matter how many good owners with great pit bulls tell us they're not bad dogs. You understand? So there we are. Friday morning, I don't want to go into this anymore, but that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I think we've talked about this before. A lot more people are talking about printer ink. Cheryl says, take some cake colorant and add it, lol. Yeah. Then I have to buy a whole new printer. Oh,
No. No, that does not sound, you know, that's not good advice, Gareth. Even me, I know. It's not good.
Look, I know you can get these Fong Kong ones at, you know, other little shops, but then you put those in. First of all, I don't think it prints as well. And second of all, your printer can actually get damaged. So I'm careful. I'm buying the right ones, but I just don't understand how they're so expensive, you know. get a laser printer, says Kitan. No, I can't do that. That's even more expensive. And I don't print that much at home anyway.
That's money, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Get a laser printer.
Just get a laser printer.
These things are 2 million, guys.
Just get. Gee, did you get your money from SARS? Hell no. I'm still waiting for that. And believe me, when I do, drinks on me. Gareth is an ink cartridge half empty kind of guy. Oh, right. Okay, thanks. That's pretty much, yeah, that summarizes my attitude this morning. I've seen a child's face being ripped off, says Cheryl, from a Labrador. So it goes on the owner and how they've been raised. Child had 5 plastic surgeries. That's just absolutely fucking awful. I mean, imagine that. Imagine your kid. You see, hear these stories about, obviously, children that tease animals and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. But if some little kid goes to a children's birthday party at the next door house and one of these dogs jumps over the wall, which happens, and it comes in there and it mauls one of these children. Yes, as if I were a parent and that happened to my kid, I would shoot the owner and the dog there and then for doing that to my child. And I know that sounds unreasonable and erratic and violent, and I think I would be out of control angry forever. And I'd probably be in some way justified. And that's not just about a dog and an owner. I'm sorry, you know, you can't keep a... You can't keep a fucking Sumatran tiger as a pet. You're not Mike Tyson. And if Mike Tyson's tiger does rip off someone's face, then Mike Tyson could be sued for like millions of dollars. I just don't think that there are certain animals that make for very good pets. And I wonder about the... Here's something that you're not going to like, since now we're going down this bloody hole. I didn't want to talk about this, but why is it that certain kinds of people want to have pit bulls? And I this is generalization, I know. And you can accuse me of whatever you like after this, but there's a certain sort of personality of person who wants a pit bull as a pet. Am I going to say there's a look? But there's an attitude of a certain type of person who goes, yeah, I have all these dogs. I'm not going to take that cute, fluffy one. I'm not going to take that that little dog that can be put in my wife's handbag. I'm not going to take that companion dog with the smiley face and the waggy tail. I'm going to take that pit bull. That's what I want. I want a frightening, I want a breed that's got a reputation. So just think about that. Maybe I've got a point. Maybe I don't.
Well, I will say this. Someone said this in passing, that like, I'm so glad I'm South African, because when a dog attacks me, I can say "futek." I don't know what other countries say.
Yeah, that's the, it's the best word. And most dogs, if you say "futek," will "futek," right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've
it's just universal.
I don't walk around the neighborhood, but when I, on the rare occasions when I do, and they're those dogs that go row, 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 at the gate, and I'm always like, yes, that's, I mean, I understand, like, you know, people have watchdogs and some people have pet dogs. My dog would be a useless watchdog. It would run up and lick everybody who came. But I don't like the idea that we live in a country that's so unsafe, first of all, that you have to worry about that shit. And you have to have a vicious animal to defend you. I mean, you know, I've always liked the idea of people who have like two sets of fences and in between they've got crocodiles. I've always liked that idea.
Stop.
Yeah, can you imagine? And they've got a sign saying, danger, khafar, gauze. But that you must have a dog that's just angry the whole time, because this is an angry dog. And I see people walk past, you know, like the domestic worker walks past from the house three houses down, and I'm like, she's not going in there to steal your stuff, and that dog mustn't be so rude. You know what I mean? Anyway,
I know what you mean, Garrett.
It's just, it's so ugly. I don't want to talk about this anymore this morning. I really don't. Gareth, yes, they are a certain type, like the ones to clip dogs' ears. Yeah. I agree with you, Gareth. There are some people I know that have pit bulls. They are not a full box of chocolates upstairs. You're spot on. Again, it always has to be said because people are stupid. So if you were the person who was about to get upset and what I'm going to say to you now matters, then you were, then you're stupid. We are not talking about everybody. There are probably lovely, lovely people. In fact, I'm sure I know some lovely people who have pit bulls. I'm sure I do. And I'm sure that they're terrific owners and the dogs are well, you know, well behaved, and they are friendly and they're not vicious and they're not aggressive and they've been raised with lots of love and all of that stuff. And you're an exception to a rule. Or maybe you're not an exception to a rule, but the rule in terms of dog attacks seems to be pit bulls. So anyway, my grumble of pugs are the worst guard dogs. But lo and behold, a squirrel enters our property and I'm a fucking getting. Well, yeah. My little Alice, who's now, what, 10 months old, decided yesterday, because she's still small, she can get through the fence in the front. And she decided, this other dog walked past, this big dog, and she decided she was going to go down there and tell him something, right? She's only this big. So she runs down, she squeezes herself. So I'm standing there watching this because I can hear her barking. So I go and look, and she runs down and she chases this. And then the big dog decides, who the hell is this? Turns around and chases her, and she squeals. She like, arr, arr, arr. She comes running back with her tail between her legs. I'm like, yes, that is why you don't go after the big dogs. So I hope
Who do you think you are? What were you doing? Hey, where were you going? You know, that's how, like, I know a lot of African parents, when you tell them, oh, I was, something happened to me or I'm bullied, they're like, who do you think, what were you doing there? Why did you go there? Yes, they must hit you. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Hey, listen. I had the most amazing meeting yesterday with Eugene Koza. We're working on something very, very cool, which I'll be telling you about in the new year. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, sometimes you get into a room and you and other people's energy just fills a massive gap that you've been looking to do something with for a long time. And sitting there with him and his team yesterday, had such an interesting conversation about something we'll be doing next year. I will keep you informed, but we are taking things in a very exciting direction. So stick around for next year. I've got exciting things to tell you in January and February. All right. Couple of things that are in the news and some things that Simpiwe wants to talk about. And by the way, good luck for Black Friday if you're one of those people who's going to brave the crowds. And remember, some people don't have an option. They've got office hours today. You start work. You don't have time before work. You don't have time. Maybe you're going to have to line up Saturday morning because that's the only day you've got off. And if that's it and you need that bargain TV, good luck. Power to you. I'm really, really hoping that you don't have to deal with too many other people. It confounds me when you see those videos, people pushing the like front of the shop down and going in for those bargains. And you're like, I think if you destroy property, they're not going to give you the special. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure about that.
I love my life.
Yeah.
I love my life. I don't trust other people out there.
Take Simpiwe's advice and take it seriously. All right. So Simpiwe says, did you know that some people suffer something called cyberphobia, which is the fear of eating food? Well, that's not a problem you and I have, Simpiwe. And I wish I did sometimes. I was looking in the mirror. When was it? Sometime this week. I woke up and I was like, oh, God, I got to get back to work because I haven't had a chance this week. It's been an insanely busy week to go to gym or anything. And I've been eating like erratically. And I suddenly thought I was on such a good track. And then this week I let myself down. So now I've got to start again now, today. I mean, you know, what day is better than today? But I somehow wish I had this phobia of eating.
No. When I found out about this, I was like, what? Excuse me, because it can pertain to like one specific type of food or, for example, perishables, or it can like include like a whole number of food. And I was like, that is sad.
Imagine
that. I don't think I want to walk in this life with the fear of food.
Are you
I'd
joking?
Rather have a fear of dogs over food.
Imagine having a fear of like carbs. I would be so thrilled to have like this phobia of carbs. Then I would only eat healthy food. You know, a little bit of protein here and there, some veggies, all the stuff that's good for you. I'd be in great shape, and I could blame it on this phobia for carbohydrates. I'm terrified of bread. Sorry, don't bring that bread anywhere near me. Oh, potato chips? No, I can't have those.
Do you know how boring your life would be? It's so sad. Like, I honestly would rather deal with every other phobia out there. Honestly, even a phobia of dogs than food.
And you do have a bit of a dog phobia. You are a little bit dog phobic, right?
Yes. So I'd rather deal with that, knowing that I can still walk around this earth and escape, you know, dealing with dogs. Food, everywhere you go, Gareth, think about it. You go somewhere, you're gonna smell some food, people offer you a plate. When you get hungry, then you have to think about, can't eat that. I'm sorry. No, sir. I feel sorry for people that suffer from this phobia. I really do.
I think there are worse things to be afraid of than this. I think that this could be a solution rather than a problem. I'm just saying. All right. you and Ryan, I know you guys went to the cannabis expo with Mash, right? And Mash got a bit high, and then he still had to drive home, which is hilarious. So did you guys also partake in some edibles and things?
Yes. But before we get to that story, Gareth. So when we arrive and we're like, hi, we're here for the expo, one of the listeners, I just forgot his name, was like, I know you guys. And it was like, oh, hi. And that was quite interesting. It's like, oh, people recognize us again. Okay. Like, there's behavior now.
That's nice, though.
And then we got into the expo. And yeah, like I had an edible for the first time, and I it's not for me, guys.
I haven't been to the expo. Apparently, it's huge. I mean, it's growing every year because we were kind of meant to be involved in the first one. Remember when they started the Cannabis Expo? We had meetings with them, and we were going to do things. And I think we even had two or three of the people on the show at some point. Anyway, I mean, I think it's great. I think cannabis is this massive opportunity for South Africa to make lots of money. I know some people who are doing it at high, huge, heavy scale. Like they've just got, you know, rows and rows of greenhouses and tunnels that they've filled on the sides of mountains with weed. And they're growing it and they're exporting it. They're not even selling it locally, which is amazing. And if you can work on that scale because you've got lots and lots of money and lots of land, that's great. But even for people who don't have lots of land and lots of money, people in the rural Eastern Cape, for example, which is apparently a great place to grow it, KwaZulu-Natal as well, good for you. You know, there's a cash crop you can sell, and now you're allowed to do so legally. I think that's terrific. So Lady Lee says, sorry, Gareth, too late. Gidizamba eating time. Yeah, you're right. I know that's coming. That's exactly why I wanted
imagine
to.
Imagine you can't have Christmas lunch. Ah, Gareth, some phobias. You must not miss out on life. No, the quality of life.
I know. Steve E says, lol, my cannabis guy has Black Friday deals, 30% off.
That's a smart businessman.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it.
Lol, that could become quite a movie if they're all having a bad trip, lol. Yeah, you and Ryan and Mash walking around the Cannabis Expo is probably hilarious. I would have liked to have followed you guys with a camera. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, it was interesting because this was Mash's second time attending and this was our first time. So he was taking us like through this and he's like, oh, wow. Last year when I was here, this wasn't here. I was like, excuse me, sir, what's this?
So he's like
And then... And there's so many products. I just thought it was just edibles, the sweets, but there's pancakes and there's the infused gin and then there's the CBD oils and then there's this and that. And I was just like, by the end of it, I was like, okay, I'm hungry. I just want food. Where's the food?
Someone gave me a little tiny, like an eyedropper bottle with, they said it's to help you sleep, right? But they're like giving me very explicit instructions that you must take a tiny little drop and just one, no more than that, because otherwise you'll be, and I followed the instructions explicitly. And I mean, this is like what, 2 months ago that they gave it to me and I tried it on, I think it was a Saturday night so that I knew I could have the whole of Sunday to, because I do not like these things. Ben will remember. Ben, you remember when we, hey Ben.
Hey guys.
You remember when we did those edibles on the show that time and it fucked us up for an entire weekend?
That was bad. That was so bad.
It was terrible. I put me off anything to do with that. And we're just talking about this because Simpiwe and Mash and Ryan went to the Cannabis Expo the other day. Anyway, I got this little eyedropper bottle from this dude and he's like, oh, you must take just one drop if you really want to have the best sleep ever. And I did. And I promise you, I woke up at, I don't know, 7-8 o'clock the next morning, and I still felt groggy until like lunchtime. So obviously it works. If you know, if you have trouble sleeping, this stuff is miraculous. We should be selling it. They should have made it legal years ago.
But Cliff, did you feel good or were you just in bed for that long? I mean, did you feel rejuvenated eventually?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I'm not a troublesome sleeper. I'm not one of those people who like, oh, can't get to sleep, tossing it. That happens to me, but it happens to everyone. But normally I sleep very well. But I can understand if you're one of those people who has terrible sleep, and sleep, Ben, you know this, is so important. If you're not getting good sleep, everything else is fucked up. And this stuff could really help people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I had about 4 hours sleep. I'm pretty hungover, and I feel like absolute ass today.
Yeah, where were you last night? You got another award.
Yeah, last night was quite a big one. So good. It was the Sports Industry Awards. Thank you. Thank you. And we were up against like the biggest long form audio visual pieces of content for the year in sport. And yeah, we won and nice. Absolutely owned it on stage.
Congratulations.
Probably a bit too much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Deal. Yeah, well done, Ben. Very, very nice.
Yeah. So our Mapimpi documentary is, that's it. All the awards are done. And last night really, really meant quite a lot to us. And it's cool. Like end of year, good. We all got together as a team, and that was very nice. Huh? It was very nice. Even like, you know, you have moments when you work hard and things, you don't actually see much of a return. So yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons why awards should be good, when you get your colleagues together and everyone can have a bit of a jaw. And it was nice. And we were at like, so this event hasn't happened properly in like 3 years.
Yeah.
So there was also that, like seeing people again. That's cool. Nice way to end the week.
And you were in the Kruger Park not so long ago. That's why we didn't see you last Friday, the Friday before. And you went with the family. How was that?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Huh? It was pretty good. I really have like, I've added layers to how obsessed I am about this Kruger Park place. It really is like driving. It was the coolest place because all you kind of see is foreign people. So you're in your country, but you also feel like you're in this other dimension where you're just hearing foreign languages. It's just so cool. And like to discover new places, you know, like the Kruger Park. So I'll show you something quickly. So this is the level I went to, right?
Oh, you
I have
bought
this
the book.
Book called Kruger Self-Drive Routes and Roads and Ratings. Every single road in the Kruger is documented in this book. So
I gave that book to my dad for his birthday this year because he's obsessed with the same thing.
What an absolutely thoughtful, wonderful gift, Gareth. It is. It's just so cool. And I had my brother with me. He had to do some work, unfortunately, but it was cool to get him out there. So I was just the world's keenest guy. Up at 4 o'clock, we're in the queue to get out of our rest camps. And he's like tired, not quite into it. And we just drove and we drove. And for the first time in one trip, I actually saw the big five within Kruger,
sure.
including a leopard in a tree. Nice. Yeah, it was cool. It was so great. But the weird thing was, like, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, maybe a bad thing, but because it's so late in the year and I took a week off, this week has been so hard to get back into normal life.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I'm thinking like, wow, am I on holiday already? It was just like, it was such a good trip that I probably got far too relaxed, far too into the wild.
Well, I wanted to also get to grips with your thoughts on the World Cup because I'm still not on the bandwagon. I embarrassingly have to admit I haven't watched a single match yet. And I'm just not drawn to it. And there's no point in fighting inevitability, right? I know Simpiwe's got the TV on in the office today and they're going to be watching the daytime games. But I'm
Wales versus Iran.
Yeah, I mean, really, wild horses couldn't drag me to that match. If you gave me free tickets and flights and accommodation and, you know, dinner with the Sheikh's whole harem of women, I wouldn't go. Not for Wales and Iran.
I mean, Gareth, obviously it doesn't help that Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia in probably the biggest World Cup upset of all time. Argentina had won 36 games in a row.
Jesus. But you don't think
they lost that one.
Some people are saying, and of course I'm going to stand up for Argentina, even though I didn't watch the match and I have no specific knowledge here. Someone said to me, yo, this just proves that the World Cup is rigged. That's bullshit too, right?
So I would normally be the person to say, yes, probably it's rigged. You can't trust these people, brown envelopes, all that kind of stuff. But there's something quite special about sport that we often forget in that Argentina are a great side and they came up against people who, this is probably the biggest thing that's ever happened in their entire lives.
Yes.
And I know that sounds incredibly cliched, but sometimes you get the right mix that on the day, athletes who are all elite athletes just get it right mentally and they just get a couple of good things in sequence. And Argentina scored, I think, 6 goals in that first half.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was offsides, all that kind of stuff. So it was probably quite deflating for them. And then just when you lower your guard slightly, you get sucker punched. And then that's how these small teams actually win. And that is still what happens in sport. I know we've all become very cynical with corruption.
No, you're right.
But it is still possible. And like, I thought the best thing was the celebrations from the Saudi people, because here we have a nation that's not really been into sports, and they've already picked it up recently, kind of, you know, acting like this. And this one clip was so incredible. There's like eight guys in a room. Obviously, there's no woman that can watch something like football.
No.
And this, they all just start jumping around and going mad. And this guy rips the door off the hinges of this room. It was,
and they're dancing.
He
rips off a door.
They're dancing in their like outfits, the Saudi outfits, to like Katy Perry songs, and I'm like, this is not right.
It's the funniest thing to see people suddenly, because like that's what sport can do. It can just make everyone act like the same kind of crazy, which is also kind of cool.
Did you watch the Germany and Japan game? Because everyone was quite upset that Germany lost again to Japan.
But the most cool thing about that, which I see on the internet in memes, is the Japs cleaning up the stadium afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And they even left a thank you note.
That's so sweet. You know, so they're such good. But we should all aspire to be a little more Japanese, at least in that respect. I mean, not so much the not so much the vending machines with people's used underwear, but the more like. Refined parts of Japanese behavior and culture. I mean, really, that's imagine South Africans cleaning up the stadium. I think we would probably make it worse. If you sent a bunch of South Africans in after the game, they'd make it even more messy.
It's a party, Chief. What do you mean? They're all going to be drinking and having like, Boots, how are you? Did you watch the game? Yo, shamalala.
But what I mean is like South Africans would piss and shit in the stands and that kind of thing. So we're just disgusting people. Like the Japanese would go and fill up bags and tie them up and leave a thank you note and like wipe the chairs and make sure that there's... It's amazing. It's the opposite of us. We would go and like... throw feces at each other and stuff. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I was in the Joburg CBD last night. It'd be quite cool if Japan took it over for like a year.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Just while we're on the World Cup, because I don't want to talk about it all day. I haven't watched enough yet to be able to add any value there. You want to ask a good question about the World Cup, Ben, because there's a lot of protesting going on all around the world about all sorts of things, mostly climate change, from people who've got absolutely no idea of how to change the climate or what that means or what they want other people to do, but they just love the attention that they get out of protesting. And nobody's done this, which is a good suggestion. Ben has a suggestion if you're an activist, Gen Z or millennial activist who wants to do something. Now's your time to shine, right, Ben?
Yeah, well, I think in all industries, Gareth, or whenever anything's around attention, you've got to raise the game, right? You've got to up your stakes. So, you know, attacking these defenseless pieces of art is so 3 weeks ago. They should be gluing themselves to these amazing stadiums or gluing themselves to, you know, like the football fields. Yeah, why aren't they doing that? These people aren't committed enough. Right. You can't tell me that they really care about this if they aren't at the moment taking on the biggest event with the most eyeballs in the world. So it just goes to show that these people cannot be trusted. They're not sincere.
Yeah.
They're half-assed about their campaigns.
Right.
If they're not all going to like glue themselves to the stadium today while Iran takes on Wales, then you can't actually believe it. You can't actually believe in their activisting. See, it's not even a word. It's just stupid.
Sanele wants some advice from us this morning because this is way more interesting than anything that's in the headlines. I need advice. I'm not a complete lunatic if I take my gin with orange juice instead of tonic this morning, instead of my regular 7 a.m. coffee, right? I mean, orange juice is mostly used for breakfast. What do we think of that?
So, Sanele... Sanele, yes, but what you must do is there must still be some pulp in there so you do get some fiber and it's not just the juice, because if you have too much orange juice, it's not going to be very good for your liver. You're basically just overloading it. So there we go.
I would say
if this was in December, I would, then you're not. We're still in November, Chief. Behave.
Oh, okay. All right. Starting. So Simpiwe's got rules. I always have a rule that I don't, no matter what, whether it's holiday or anything else, I don't drink before 12. But then I do remember a few, you know, holidays, waking up with a bunch of friends in a house, and then someone's already sitting outside having like a drink at 9 a.m. My rules for me, I've managed to keep in place. This is interesting. Carl says Japanese people are really amazing. If they were better looking, I'd love to be one.
What?
Well, it's only a bit of racism there. Just a little bit, so that's all right. You know, yeah, I started this thing last Friday, which got a huge reaction on Instagram, so I'm going to carry it on today. It's like stuff that must stop, like things that we must stop. And I put up, you know, all kinds of things that it just got a lot of attention from people. And I thought, well, people like this, so I'll do it again today. It's like 10 things that have to stop. And I'll do that again this morning around 9. I was at the airport last Friday and I thought, I'm sitting here. What else do I have to do? Let me write some of these things down and have some fun. So I'm going to do that and we'll see if it can become a thing. We might even do it on the show one morning.
It's a wonderful idea, Gareth, but don't you dare attack rye bread ever again.
You like rye bread. It's disgusting. I said rye bread isn't even real bread. It's like when, you know, someone very, very ugly is wearing something that is meant to be on someone really lovely.
Rye bread is bread that actually went and did something with its life. What are you talking about? Thick cut white loaf. That's not even food.
Rye bread tastes disgusting. Oh, look, I mean, most bread is unnecessary. We should do without bread.
It's bread. It's bread, Gareth. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay, so a couple of things we've got to do this morning before we get into the next hour of the show, and it's already, Jesus, look at the time, 1:45. All right, so just a few things. Elon Musk, still in the news. That guy is having so much fun. I love it too. I said to somebody yesterday, I'm just so jealous of how much fun he's having. I don't care about his money or anything else. I just love seeing how much this guy is. He's probably laughing. I mean, you know, he's a nerd, so he's probably that's probably how he laughs in his office and, you know, Twitter headquarters or whatever it is. He found a cupboard full of t-shirts and Stay Woke. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was so funny.
Yeah, so he found this cupboard full of Stay Woke t-shirts and he's like, oh really, look what I found in Twitter HQ. And now he's made a bunch of t-shirts that say stay woke. Instead of Stay Woke, to actually work, which, you know, he made this ultimatum to his staff, right? He said, guys, we're about to go through a period where we're going to improve Twitter. We're going to do a lot. If you are not on board to work hard and to put in extra hours and really drive this business with me, then I'm going to pay you a severance package and you can just go. And like a whole group of people were like, no, we'll just take the severance package and go. What a brilliant way, though, to get all the shit out of the system. Isn't that clever? You just threaten them with hard work and they go, we're out, bye-bye, we'll take the severance package. I mean, whatever he paid them is worth it.
Or, but like not even, he threatened them with work. Take out the word hard. He basically just said, guys, we got to improve this. And they were like, oh, no way. Because you know just like you said a few weeks ago, these people didn't have real jobs. They weren't doing anything. They were make-believing, play.
Yeah, the whole reason you're here, you know that reason, guys? Like, work? We're going to do more of that. And he's apparently already increased the speed of Twitter, which he's warned people to just be aware of. Like, there's going to be a slight increase in speed. Also, hate speech posts are down by 2/3 since he took over, which is really interesting, too, because people were saying, oh, no, there's going to be an explosion of hate speech. I think he's making small incremental changes, which are going to be very good for anyone who still uses Twitter. Great. Yes.
But I think I understand why the employees left. It's because they're not qualified for the job. And if someone's going to say to you, yo, dude, it's time to step up now and do what you actually pay for, you're like, oh, shucks. In fact, I don't know how to do this thing. He's going to ask me questions that I have no cooking clue what the answer is. Let me take the money and be out. And I think that's what happened. They were just like, let's be honest. We don't know how to do whatever this man wants us to do. Let's go.
But great, great move. I mean, every company in the world should do this. They should say at the beginning of next year, like, guys, we're going to be working really hard. But if you don't want the hard work, that's cool. Here's an extra couple of $100. Just go. And then we'd clear out the workforce and we'd... Because there are people out there. There are people in every country in the world, even in places where they only have 3-6% unemployment, like in America, where people are desperate for work. You know, there are some South Africans who've been sitting on their hands for like 2 years now trying to find a job. And these are not lazy people. I mean, there are lazy people, but there are also people who are out there who are desperate to find meaningful, gainful employment and who want to make a contribution, I reckon we got to give those people a chance and get the crap out of the system. You know how many people I've met in big businesses in South Africa, and I've thought, how the hell did you get here? How did you get this job? You are the most average person imaginable. How did you get a job in a big company like this? And then you find out that they knew the, you know, chief marketing officer's daughter at school or whatever, and you think, how are they holding on to you? Surely by now they've realized you're completely shit at your job. Don't you agree?
It's just, yeah, I always find it amazing how these companies have so much fat, so to speak, and so much latitude on employment, because running companies is hard as fuck.
It is.
Like, making money and like managing your margin is so difficult. Like, where do you get the time and the luxury to have useless people?
Yeah. Well, here's the latest story from Twitter. I thought you'd enjoy this. So Elon Musk has just fired Twitter's sales executive after she refused to sack more employees in the ad sales team, according to two people familiar with the matter. Robin Wheeler, Twitter's global head of advertising sales, handed in her resignation on Thursday, but Musk persuaded her to stay in the job. 1 week later, he changed his mind and fired
her. He tried. So, yeah. He tried conforming.
No.
He tried doing what everybody else does. And then he was like, damn it, can't do this.
I don't think he even tried. I think he did this on purpose. He wanted to fire her. He didn't want her to leave on her own terms. So he said, no, please stay. We need you. And then a week later, he's like, I'm gonna fire. So apparently she refused to cut the headcount of Twitter's ad sales team. She said the department was already depleted. Wheeler, whose Twitter bio now says, proud ex-Twitter sales executive, tweeted on Friday in the past tense saying, to the team and my clients, you were always my first and only priority. She concluded the tweet with a salute emoji, a sign that has become symbolic for Twitter employees leaving the company. Oh, where? They're all doing the salute.
Oh, so noble.
I mean, first of all, don't you think...
Just take it out and leave.
Like, don't you think it's so like, sad? Just leave. Like, they're also telling everyone on the platform that they're leaving, that they're leaving. Like, that's so sad. They've obviously got nowhere else to talk to anyone. So they're like, I'm leaving Twitter, but I'm also saying goodbye on Twitter. And I'm probably going to be here again in a month's time complaining about Twitter because I'm not there anymore. Anyway, they reported some Twitter staff and the sales team found out over the weekend and on Monday they'd been sacked. This came after Musk he sent an email to employees about his expectations for building Twitter 2.0. They didn't immediately respond at Twitter to the requests for comment. Wheeler hasn't yet replied to requests for comments from her either. She joined Twitter in 2012 as a senior director of sales, and she's built relationships with some of the biggest clients like Coca-Cola, Google, and Microsoft. She became the head of ad sales in April this year. So they've replaced her with someone called Chris Reedy, who is their former vice president of Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's fun to watch this stuff. Apparently, they laid off all but one person at their African office here in South Africa. They got rid of everybody except one just 3 days after they opened it. That's
was it a Kumbulakaya moment or it was just a genuine, your work ethic is great.
That's like, so great.
Which one was it, Elon?
I don't know. That I want to meet that one person they kept because they fired every other person. That's how cuck they must
Chief,
have been.
Chief, how did you do it? They must do a whole documentary, how not to get fired.
And you know, it was so funny, just like a few weeks ago, Simpiwe, you told us about this quiet quitting phenomenon, which is taking place where millennials and Gen Z people just, you know, they go to work, but they don't do much. They slow their progress. They do the absolute minimum. They clock in and clock out, but they don't do actually any work. This is quiet quitting. And we were talking about this just a few weeks ago. And now suddenly, if you quiet quit, they're gonna fire you long before you start that shit. And even in places like Silicon Valley, where they've tolerated nonsense for such a long time. I just thought that was a funny story to get us going this morning, just in case you felt like you had a hard job and that your life wasn't working out. Well, there are other people, too, who are having hard times. And it's happening in Silicon Valley, where they've been overpaid for months, years. Listen to this. Rats. Talking about the Cannabis Expo just now. Rats in India ate 200 kilograms of seized cannabis in a police station in India.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Rats have no fear of the police. They start the article. It is difficult to protect a drug from them. That's what a court in Uttar Pradesh state has said. The court asked the police to produce the stash as evidence in cases of drug peddling. The judge cited three cases in which marijuana was destroyed by rodents. The judge said in an order that when the court asked the police to produce the seized drug as evidence, they were told that 195 kilograms of cannabis had been eaten by rats. Hey. I don't know if this is all the rats. I must be honest with you. I think maybe the police are in on this. In another case involving 386 kilograms of the drugs, the police filed a report saying some of the cannabis was eaten by the rats. This is amazing. Apparently, 700 kilograms of the total marijuana seized by the police, lying in police stations in this district, has all been in danger of infestation and eating by rats. Imagine how much fun these rats are having.
I can totally believe that. You know those rats? They're very unreasonable. They don't start and do little things. They just go and they swarm.
Mad, Ricky,
and I'm guessing there's lots of rats in that place.
Yeah, but what happens to them when they're high? Like, they just just chill there now? They're not running around?
They become massively paranoid that cats are chasing them.
Well, Ricky says, imagine a high rat. It's like standing around like this. What the fuck? Just imagine.
Oh, then it moves, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
And it goes back, oh my gosh, like, what happened? Can you even catch a rat when they hide then? Like, is that the best way to get, like,
I kind of want to see what the follow-up story is, because that many rats high, can you imagine what their munchies must be? Like, what do they then eat?
Oh, wow.
Do they then take a building down? Do they eat old people?
Oh, my God, can you imagine? Yeah.
What's the follow-up?
Because, you know, if there's a big enough swarm of rats, they can do a lot of danger. You know, they could cause a lot of danger. They could do a lot of damage. I'm pretty sure they could chew their way through, like, brick walls if they were all motivated enough. All right. So what is the perfect Christmas plan? Ben wants to know, and I want to know too. We've got to get our December plans now in order. There's no more time to fuck around. If you haven't booked accommodation and plane tickets and you haven't thought about where you're going to go, you're too late now, because before you know it, there's going to be nothing available, right? So we have to have our plans in place.
Yeah, so maybe this is for 2023 onwards. But, you know, like, we obviously, most of us have family obligations, whether we like them or not, and that's how Christmas happens. But I was chatting to a friend last night, and him and his family are going to Lapland. They're going to be on, like, those snowmobiles. They're going to be going to the North Pole.
That's cool.
And you think like, at some stage in your life, wow, having a cold Christmas must be the best. Like, absolutely, in snow, wearing jerseys. Because Christmas, I've always believed, is that, like, if you look at, like Santa's in a big suit, you know? He's not in a pair of board shorts and flip-flops.
No.
Christmas is a winter thing. We just have to – we're unfortunately on the wrong side of the globe. But we do obviously celebrate it in our own way. So for me, I would want to go somewhere really, really cold, and some, like, old hotel where they have, like, a huge tree in the lobby. Like, I want to live, like, the absolute movie kind of cliche Christmas at one stage in my life in the cold with someone special.
Definitely.
That to me, like...
That sounds amazing.
I really, really want to make it happen. And I've been thinking about it quite a lot in the last 2 weeks. So as much as I like spending time with my family, which I told you a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you're going to be doing
that. Yeah, it's another Christmas, right? I want to go somewhere. I want to, like, make a Christmas adventure while I still have some wonder and youth running through my veins. And I think that next year, this is what I want to do. I want to prioritize this.
Sounds very good. But Congo Chris says Lapland sounds like a strip club.
Exactly. I think, well, everyone's got a different kind of Christmas, you know. You can go Lapland.
I totally agree with you. Hilarious. Like, I think it would be fun to have one of those movie Christmases, you know, those ones that, and we've got to remember, like, Christmas is a fairly modern invention. And Father Christmas's colors, Santa Claus colors, actually, I think Coca-Cola decided he was red and white because that was their color.
Correct.
So there's
Correct.
A lot of this.
They made that.
There's a lot of this is totally made up bullshit. But I would love to be in the snow for Christmas and, you know, actually see reindeer and actually hear what sleigh bells sound like and actually hear, like, people caroling from house to house. I mean, it doesn't happen. Maybe it's just all in my head. But when I think about Christmas the European or American way, I think that's how they do it, and I'd love to see that once in my life, just once.
Well, if you go to those like major European cities, now that terrorism's chilled out a little bit, they have those amazing Christmas markets in the cities where there's thousands of people coming together in their big woolen knitted outfits, and they're all just getting drunk and they're eating seasonal foods. Like, that would be so damn exciting. And now that like the world is a bit more normal, like I'm kind of really want to do this again.
Totally agree. So someone says the best white Christmas is in Colombia. Steve, animal. Cheryl says there's nothing better than a white Christmas. I don't think she means like white supremacy Christmas. I think she means like snow. Rusty says, I'm going to Romania. Or is that remain here? Ooh. Yeah, it's very difficult to figure out whether people are joking or not in the comment section. Michael says, let's have auditions for Ben's Lapland special someone. That would be fun too.
I'll be the DJ. I know the exact music that we must play for the people that must, you know, give the special dance. So
yes, exactly.
That's sorted, Ben.
Right.
So Santa's little helpers never had a new, new connotation.
Right. Gareth, we all know how you hate the cold. You and snow, you think you'll complain about the cold the whole time. Bullshit, Ricky. I have been in the snow. I have skied in the snow. I love it, but I don't want to live in it. I mean, it's very different to go somewhere on holiday and to feel a bit of that magic and that, you know, we don't have anything like that in South Africa. People go, oh, well, you could go to, what's that place? Afriski. In Lesotho,
that's not the same.
There's like a patch of sand this big that fills up with snow, and that's it. I want to go and actually be in Europe for Christmas, just for Christmas. I agree with Ben. I mean, like, he's spot on about that. I think it would be amazing. All right, it's 7 o'clock, people. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Stick around. Lots of good stuff on the way. CliffCentral.com, Friday morning. Woohoo! It's the weekend. You've got lots of things to look forward to, and it's almost December. Hooray! CliffCentral.com.